verse 12, it kind of asks a question here. He said, "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand?" Who has done that? Could it be done? Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Verse 12. "And meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure." Who's done that? "And weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding?" Who's done this? Anyone that you know of or ever heard of or read about that could do such mighty things, mighty acts? He said, "Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket." A drop of a bucket. After you empty the bucket and you look down, you'll see a drop hanging on the side of the bucket. And so you remove that drop and look, and there's another drop. And he said, "The nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted or regarded as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Lebanon is not sufficient to burn." That is not worth my time, Lebanon. "Nor the beast of Lebanon thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations are before him as nothing." And less than nothing. What is nothing? I don't know what nothing is, do you? It's such an insignificant thing that you can't articulate to our understanding what nothing is. I used to say, if you took a box and sealed it off on all sides, put nothing in the box, seal it off on all sides, you could say, what is in the box? Nothing. You can't explain nothing. So, people who are so full of self, full of their attainments, and think they're somebody, especially these that try to educate God and tell him what he can do and what he can't do, they're nothing. They are counted to him less than nothing. Nothing and less than nothing, and vanity. To whom will ye liken? To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and cast casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooses a tree that will rot. He speaketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told to you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants, the people thereof are grasshoppers. That stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. He, or that bringeth the princes to nothing, he maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. They shall not be sown. Yea, their stalk shall not take root in the earth. He shall also blow upon them. They shall wither. And the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal? Found one that you think is equal with me. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, and bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power. Not one failure. You can read the rest of it there when you get home some other time. God, awesome God. And to think that the majority of the inhabitants of this earth at any time, given time, are walking on thin ice. They know not when the grim reaper will overtake them. And if they're overtaken, and will be overtaken, surely, sooner or later, at the appointed time, and that they do not reverence in love the God of the Bible in Christ, what awaits them is so terrible. I don't even want to think about it. The awful misery and torment of a man when the grim reaper overtakes him and destroys him and sends him into that place that he never can get out of. Terrible. Majority of the world's like that. The majority of the peoples of the world, they don't give a second thought to God, who He is. Is He worthy or unworthy? Busy doing things that pleases them, pleases the flesh. Lord, have mercy. That, sing us another verse, one verse, if you will. And in chapter 41 of the book of Isaiah, and verse 17, let me make mention of that here this evening and make a few comments on what it means. Verse 17. It says, when the poor and needy seek water. And there is none. And their tongue faileth for thirst. I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. Now, it's common to hear people say, such a one as is identified in this verse, the poor and needy, seek water. Such a one surely must have a, he must be a great believer. He must be a strong, valiant believer in the gospel. What ideas strikes your mind in reference to such a person? Now you say, well, we're apt to think that he's very rich in himself. He must have a great amount or a great stock of inherent righteousness. He must have a natural righteousness of his own, and he must have a great amount of it. But that's wrong. That is 100% wrong. Instead of him having a large amount of self-righteousness or inherent righteousness, it's just the reverse, just the opposite. He is one who knows himself to be poor and needy. And if a man ever, by the grace of God, by the great teacher, the Spirit of God, finds out somewhat about God and who He is, somewhat, he comes to find out what he himself is in light of who God is. He'll find out that he's poor and needy. He's poor and needy when he finds out who God is and who he is. He'll find out that he's very poor and he's very needy. Poor and needy. And his great faith leads him out of himself. Leads him to look out of himself for that which he needs. And quit looking at himself. But the Spirit will lead him out of himself. To the great God that I just read about in the book of Isaiah. To the great God and our Savior. To receive out of His fullness and unsearchable riches. He confesses, I am a poor and needy sinner. And live on the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. The sight of our poverty, our poorness, our vanity, and the sense of our need. What do we need? We need to get out of self. We need to quit looking of avenues out of ourselves that will set us in good stead with God. There's many people in our day, very many religious people, who think that this business of salvation, that someone approaches them and makes a proposition to them about the Lord Jesus Christ, their reaction is as one that's doing God a favor by saying, yes, we believe on His name, we believe in the Lord Jesus. And they're only doing this as a show. There is no real Holy Spirit conviction that brings them to know how poor and needy they are and how far off from God they are. They don't know that. They think they're doing God a favor. We'll just do this fellow a favor. We feel sorry. They know, as I know, and as you know, that the majority of professions and confessions of faith of the 20th century and on back are made from the mouth and not made from the heart. They think that they're adding something to God. They want to do something that springs from their inherent righteousness that will add to God or try to gain God's favor. The sight of our real state and condition, the sight of our poverty, and the sense of our need, the Holy Spirit of God must keep up our minds with this thought that we're poor and needy. Not just when we come to Christ, but all through life. From the time that we're quickened and given life, and from the time that the love of God seen in Christ is shed abroad in our hearts, He's got to keep this idea in our mind, which is truth, that we are poor and needy. And He has to lead us, and He will lead us, out of ourselves and lead us to Him who alone gives drink to the thirsty and clothes the poor and the needy, our Lord Jesus. And when that happens, that makes the Lord Jesus Christ and His riches, the riches of Himself, the riches of His grace, that makes the riches of His grace and the riches of Himself very precious to that soul. Some say such a one as described here is only a seeker. He's seeking after God. Well, that's what God's children do. All their life, they are seekers after God. They are poor and needy. And they seek water. Their souls are thirsty for water. And there is none. That's the reason they come to say, I'm poor and needy. There's no water. There's nothing coming from God to my soul. I need some help. I need a word from God, a word of comfort, a word of help, something to help me in this trying time. Their souls are thirsty for water. And the prophet says there is none. They can find no water of consolation in the whole world. Remember I said we are not of this world. And Jesus said, I pray for them, I pray not for the world. These that are poor and needy know that they cannot find no water of consolation, no water that would help them from this wicked world. So they got to keep crying out unto God and quit looking for it in this world, because there's no water in this world. No water that will have them. They have no spring of comfort in themselves. They cannot draw none from their own righteousness because they have none. And they know they need a righteousness, a sinless perfection. They know they need that. And they cry out to God, we're thirsty for this righteousness that will stand us in good stead with God. We have no righteousness of our own. We're poor and needy sinners. Their tongues fail for thirst, the prophet says. The sin of their nature, it's still there. It hasn't changed. When God saved them, He didn't save their nature. They still have a sinful nature. And it's like a uncontrollable scorching fever that a man has. It burns in him. And then this hardened sin of his old nature and self-righteousness does not do him any good. And the poor and needy, they need something bad. They need water. And there is none. What are we going to do? Their cry is about their poverty and their need and their thirst. They cry after Jesus. Give me Jesus, else I perish along the way. Well, says he, I am the Lord. The Lord will hear you and answer you too. Look over here in John chapter 7 just for a minute or a second or less. John 7 and verse 37. In that last day, it says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Any man thirst, let him come to me. Well, I think I know what I'm talking about. Because I have been that poor, needy sinner. I've been thirsty as a poor, needy sinner. And I've been thirsty ever since God convinced me of my sinnerhood, who I was, and brought me to know His Lamb, the Lamb of God. I've been thirsty I've looked in various places, and I could find no spring of water that would quench my thirst. I have been shut up to this man, Christ Jesus. If any man thirst, let him come to me. Let him come to me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Well, I've been on that road. Look over here, if you will, and I think it's the third chapter of the book of the Revelation. There's a verse here that kind of gives it. It says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a new stone, and in the stone a name written, which no man knoweth, saving him that receiveth. That's to the poor and the needy. To the poor and the needy. Over here in Luke chapter 1, there may be something there that would be beneficial. Luke chapter 1. Well, I haven't got the right book. There. Luke chapter 1. Talks about Zacharias. Verse 12 here, verse 10. It said the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. There appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. And the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Thy prayer is heard. And the people marveled. And the virgin was espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Angel came unto her and said, hail! Gain her attention. Hail, thou that art highly favored by God. The Lord's with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, shalt bring forth a son, and call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there is no end. verse 68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He hath visited and redeemed His people. Saved them from their enemies, from the hand of all them that hate us. Grant us to be delivered. To give knowledge of salvation unto His people by the remissions of their sins. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness, in the shadow of death, guide our feet in the way of peace, when we come to know Him, whom to know is life eternal. He'll satisfy our thirst. He'll quench our thirst with the rich blessings of His grace. The great God and Savior, I mentioned at the outset, of all of those who walks on thin ice, who walks a tightrope, the ice is going to break and the water's going to swallow them up. And they're going to fall off of the rope. And great will be the fall. I earnestly plead with you to look unto Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of His people. Look unto Him. It's not worthwhile looking at yourself. Can find no hope in yourself. Must look out of yourself. Come unto me, all ye that are thirsty, and drink. I'll give unto you life. And out of your belly